Lord, every time we think about you, on the one hand we rejoice, on the other hand we fear and tremble. Lord, we rejoice because you are such a Lord full of mercy and loving kindness. We fear and tremble because before you we fall short. Lord, so we come before you. Again, we prostrate before your feet. Lord, we ask you to enlighten us and support us with your grace, so that from now on we can be found pleasing to you. There's only one ambition in our heart, that is to please you. We have only one hope, that is you would have a way in us. We wish that you would not forsake us, but use us, that in your hand we will become useful vessels. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We commit this time fully in your hand. Lord, we praise you, pray that you speak to us in your precious name. Yesterday we have fellowship a little bit and reviewed a little bit concerning the church and the work, the essence of church and work. In other words, after a certain period of time, there's a need for us to return to the Lord. To again allow him to examine us. To again allow him to remind us. So that we would not forget what we're here for. So we thank the Lord for allowing us the opportunity yesterday for us to fellowship in this aspect. In other words, whether regarding the church or our work, we need to have the heavenly vision. Without the heavenly vision, we do not have a direction or a goal. Neither do we have the strength. But sometimes, God had mercy on us so that we would gain His vision. But as we serve Him, many times we will be distracted by the outward things, so that we will be obscure toward this heavenly vision. And therefore, our service on the earth will be distorted. Therefore, there's a need for us to often return to the Lord, so that in a real way, before the Lord, we will see what the church is. We are all those who serve in the church. So what is the church after all? We all have a portion in the work. So after all, every day, every month, every week, the kind of work that we do, what are they for after all? In other words, as we serve in such a way, do we serve out of ourselves, or do we serve fully out of our Lord to accomplish His purpose? So these are the questions that we need to ask after a certain period of time. After some time, we need to review and return to the Lord, to be still before the Lord, so that He would again remind us within us. And this morning, we like to occupy the time to fellowship and remind each other and encourage each other concerning the relationship between the church and the work. Yesterday we mentioned the essence of the church and the work. What is the church? Why is the need for the church? What is the work? How should we carry the work to work? Today we need to look at the relationship between these two. Or in other words, concerning the heavenly vision, how do we carry it out? First of all, we're here just to review. I believe brothers and sisters already know these things. We're here but to remind each other. So first of all, what we need to see is the work is for the church. In the scripture, this is a very important principle. Today, we're on the earth. We often discover a condition. That is, we have replaced the church with our work. Or put in another way, the work becomes our goal instead of the work is for the building of the church. Suppose here we're working here. We work. What do we work for? The work is for the church. The church is not for the work. I believe there is a great difference. If the church is for the work, then the church has become a pulpit for the work. There are many places that we have seen the existence of the church or the meeting of the saints is for the supporting of a ministry. Rather than the ministry is there for the purpose of building the church. But it becomes the church supporting the ministry. And in this way, we have seen that the work has replaced the church. In other words, it has lost what God wants to gain in his heart. Because what God wants to gain is his church, the body of Christ, the Lamb's counterpart. This is what the Lord is after. The work is merely for the accomplishment of that purpose. Therefore, if we take the work and put it as a main purpose, and the church has become something to support, to maintain the work, then the church has become a platform, thereby losing God's heart's desire. So I think on this point, we do need to often remind each other as we work. Today, we are working in this way, not for the purpose of achieving a certain kind of work. Today we're here working is fully for the purpose that God can gain his church. So we see in the book of Acts, we see clearly that there is a group of apostles. They began from Jerusalem all the way to the end of Acts, when we see Paul in the city of Rome. All of his work, all of the ministries, all of the apostles, they're there working. They're not for the purpose of building their own ministry. They're not building their own activities. They're not for themselves to build their own territories. Rather, we have seen that all their work there is for the building of God's house, God's church. In Jerusalem, we see the 12 apostles. After the Lord's training for a few years, till that time, they have manifested their functions. In Jerusalem, they're there to serve. They're helping building the church. They're not there to bring these people into their own ministries or into their own works. Rather, they bring these people into God's house, God's church. And furthermore, they serve them faithfully. And then we look further. We see Paul and Barnabas. As they went out to work, they did the same thing. Wherever they went, you see that their work is altogether for the church, not for their own selves. Paul's work, or God through Paul has produced the church, but this church does not belong to Paul. This church belongs to God. So you see, whether other apostles or other teachers or God's many ministers, they can all build upon the foundation that Paul has established. Like Paul has planted, Apollos and watered. And you didn't see that Paul says, this is my work. This is my territory. This is my kingdom, my domain. Other ministries cannot enter into my domain. Rather, we saw that Paul would rather Barnabas or Apollos would go to Corinth. Paul had not one iota of thoughts to build his own work. He was altogether for God's house, God's church. So today, whatever we do, wherever we go, we need to remember one thing. The work is for the church. The church is not for the work. The work derives its existence for the church. And the church did not exist for the work. I believe this is very clear. But in God's word, we also see that there is a relationship between the church and work, and it is an intimate relationship. The church is different from the work. But the church cannot fully separate from the work. It is different. But we cannot mix church and the work. We cannot discern or separate from the work from the church. When we mix up the church with the work, the result is that you will see the church becomes one which is for the work. This is sure. It is not work for the church anymore. So we have to see that church is different from the work. But they're not fully separate either. Why? Because we see that the church and the work should cooperate. But they're not one. They're not one entity. The Bible showed us the church and the work are two entities. But these two entities should cooperate. Only under this cooperation can we ever see that the work would develop and the church can be established. We see the relationship between the church and the work, which is an intimate one. But it doesn't lose the difference because of its intimacy. There still are different. For instance, we see Paul and Barnabas, as God sent them forth from Antioch. These two apostles, they went forward to different places preaching the gospel of God. They went to Galatia, and they went to all the different cities and worked. As they were working, a group of people were saved. And the apostles assembled them together. And then Paul and Barnabas went to another place. When they went to another place, after a certain period of time, maybe a couple of years, they will return. On the return trip, they revisit all these brothers and sisters. As they revisited these brothers and sisters, in Acts 14, it showed us, they discovered that among the brothers and sisters, there was already a group of brothers and sisters that it seems as though before the Lord, these group of brothers and sisters are seeking more and know the Lord more than the other brothers and sisters. Not that they are perfected, but they are a little bit more advanced. Therefore, spontaneously, these brothers and sisters in the church have already been bearing certain spiritual responsibilities. And the Holy Spirit had already manifested these brothers and sisters. Paul and Barnabas merely confirmed them and appointed them as the elders to govern the churches locally. So from the Word of God we see, yes, the producing of the church is a result of the work of the apostles. Realistically speaking, there are two ways for the producing of the church in scriptures. One, through the apostles, going to so many places to work, and the result of their work produces the church. Just like the churches in Galatia, or the church in Corinth, or church in Ephesus, we see they are the result of the work. We also see that the producing of the church has another way, which is not through the apostles, not through work, but through the brothers and sisters. They themselves went to other places. As they went to many places, they brought the gospel with them. So at that time we saw the church in Jerusalem as they met together for a number of years. But because they met together and it was so good, they were unwilling to leave each other. And the Lord raised up persecution, to disperse them to many places. And because God's desire is that they would go from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, and to the remotest part of the earth to testify of the Lord. But the saints in Jerusalem, they met together for about 7 years. They had it so good. They were unwilling to leave it. So as far as God's commission is concerned, they neglected it. So God used persecution to disperse them. And scripture said that brothers and sisters were scattered all over the place. And the 12 apostles were left in Jerusalem. And all the brothers and sisters, they went abroad. Wherever they went, they brought God's gospel to the place. The result is we see that some of the churches had their beginning not as a result of work, but as a result of brothers and sisters being used by God to raise up the churches. For instance, the church in Antioch was a clear example. The church in Antioch was the result of these brothers and sisters who were persecuted and were scattered abroad. They not only preach the gospel to the Greek Jews, also they preach gospel to the Greeks. So God greatly worked, and the church were raised up. So the church in Jerusalem heard about God's work in Antioch, and then they sent Barnabas to visit them. I believe this is so beautiful, because they did not send an apostle or apostles to go to Antioch. If they sent apostles to Antioch, people would mistake them. Now that the apostles come to Antioch to take over, so that church in Jerusalem is the parent church, and then the parent church would take over the other churches to come under the jurisdiction of the parent church. We praise the Lord. That didn't happen. They in turn sent Barnabas, because Barnabas was a Grecian Jew. He was born in Greece. He was not born in Palestine. Neither was he an apostle. He was merely a brother. He was a brother who loved the Lord. And he was a son of consolation. In other words, he possessed the heart of love and consolation. Because between the Jews and the Gentiles, their characters were quite different. And therefore, they sent him to visit them. In other words, not to take over, but to help. As he went there and saw God's work, he felt inadequate. And therefore, he went to Tarsus and sought out Saul. So the two of them have spent 1 year to help the local brothers and sisters with God's word. So we saw the producing of the church in Antioch was not the result of work or the result of the apostles' work. The church in Antioch was a result of faithful brothers and sisters preaching God's word. And afterwards, they received help from Paul and Barnabas. So in Acts chapter 13, we saw at that time the church in Antioch, there were five apostles and five prophets and teachers. These five prophets and teachers, they were there to help or to be responsible for the ministry of the word locally. They were not the apostles. They were merely prophets and teachers. for the work, for the service locally. As they minister to the Lord, the Holy Spirit separated two out of the five, Paul and Barnabas, to do the work that the Holy Spirit sent them for. At that time, Paul and Barnabas could be considered as the apostles. In today's language, they become workers. And at that time, they became the apostles. So you see, yes, the church produces the apostles. Not that the apostles set up the churches. Contrarily, in Antioch, the church produced apostles. Today we know some have this kind of insistence. They said, without the apostles, there's no church. If there's a group of brothers and sisters, they meet together, they pursue the Lord. But if there's no apostle, it cannot be considered possibly the church. This is a misconception. Antioch clearly showed it. Not only wasn't established by the apostles, but the apostles were produced out of the church in Antioch. So the way of God setting up the church are two ways. One, through the apostles, or the so-called workers, and through their work produces the church. The other way is the brothers and sisters, in their scattering abroad, they serve faithfully, thereby producing the church. So we see that at the time, the attitude of the apostles, what did they have? We saw their attitude toward the church was not that they treated the church as their own property. Remember, the Lord in Matthew 16 says, I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Therefore, the church belongs to the Lord. And it does not belong to the workers. And it does not belong to the apostles either. Contrarily, we see, as brothers and sisters were not clear. For instance, in Corinth, they said, some says, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas. Even some say, I belong to Christ. As though you people are wrong. We belong to Christ. But Paul said, was Paul crucified for you? Did Paul die for you? Therefore, we must see here. The work is different from the church. There is a difference. You do not put your work in a position of replacing the church. Contrarily, Paul was there saying, was Christ divided for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul did not consider this to be his church because rather, he reminded brothers and sisters, the church belongs to Christ. Not only Paul said, now we servants belong to you, Paul belongs to you, Apollos belongs to you, Cephas belongs to you. All is for you. You are for Christ, Christ belongs to God. So we see that all the work is for the church. And all the work is not for building up your own work. And there's not one work can claim, this is the result of my work, so this church belongs to me. There's not such a thing. Because of this, you will see that the church can accept all of God's ministry. Otherwise, the church will become one who can receive only one ministry. For instance, if this is the result of Paul's work, then they will receive only Paul's ministry. And then they will reject Apollos' ministry. But if today this work is for the church, then you will see. And all the ministries that God has given to the church, this church will receive all. In this way, the riches of the church will be very greatly enriched. So whatever ministry, whether Paul, even Paul's ministry is not all inclusive, but God loves the church. He wants the church to receive the all-inclusive supply. So he gives all different gifts to cherish and nourish the church. He uses all ministries to build up the church. This is the place, this is the point of departure for the church from the work. Even though they're different, they cannot be separate. In other words, the church must receive God's service of God, of all God's ministries. The church cannot reject any of God's ministers. Cannot reject God's minister. So you see in the church in Corinth, some were there wanting to reject Paul's ministry. The church in Corinth was established through the work of Paul. But the church in Corinth should continue to receive Paul's ministry and also receive other people's ministry. But the church of Corinth had some problems. Some were there to neglect Paul's ministry. They thought Cephas was God's establishment among the 12 apostles. So they rejected Paul's apostleship. Even some rejected Paul's supply. So we see that the relationship between the church and work had a problem. But on the other hand, Paul didn't, just because the church in Corinth was established by his ministry, he did not possess the absolute authority. We saw that he did not. Before a church is established in the infancy, if the church is produced from the work, we often see that in the infancy, it's as though the worker is there to bear all responsibilities. For instance, church in Jerusalem, we saw in the beginning, as though the 12 apostles in the church in Jerusalem, they bore all responsibilities. Even setting up tables was their responsibility. And because of that, they had problems. The Hellenistic widows were neglected in the daily supply. It's not that the 12 apostles played favoritism. they were all Hebrew believers. But they were not clear about the needs of the Hellenistic needs. Regardless of how capable or faithful or diligent the 12 apostles were, when there were 10 or 20,000 saints, you had to preach, you had to pray, you had to take care of the setting up tables. You could not do it all. This was not God's original intention. So you see that through these problems, he caused the apostles to see that they were not all capable. There was a need for the brothers to be raised up. So there were 7 brothers who were raised up and full of the Holy Spirit and possessed a good reputation. And they took care of the table so that the apostles could devote their time for preaching, prayer. When they distributed their responsibilities in this way, we saw God's word was greatly increased. Later on, we saw that there were elders in the church in Jerusalem. There were the elders. So in Acts 11, we saw when Paul and Barnabas brought the Gentile saints' supply to the elders in Jerusalem. In other words, because the church had been established, and a group of brothers had been raised up by the Holy Spirit to bear the responsibility of the eldership to govern the local church. So the apostles devoted their attention to the work, and they no longer took care of the affairs of the church. Of course, the church in Jerusalem was unique, because not only it was a local assembly, you can say it was a center of work. Therefore, we see that even among the elders, some apostles also were elders. But not all of the apostles were elders. We saw Peter. He was an elder. We could see John also became an elder. And they attended the work of the elders. In other words, they wore two hats. They were apostles at the same time they were the elders. But the other apostles did not do such thing. Now that every apostle became an elder. If every apostle is an elder, then there would be since all the apostles supply the ministry of the word, and you would see that unbeknownst to them, that these apostles, when they become elders, they would become the chief of the elders. And then you will see that the work would all again control the church again. So you saw in the other churches there was no such a condition. Church in Antioch didn't have such a problem. Churches in Galatia did not have such a condition. Church in Corinth didn't have such a condition either. Now, at the infancy of the work, the so-called workers, it seems as though they bore all the responsibilities. But when the church had more or less established itself, then they should relinquish the responsibility to the local brothers. So as we see Ephesians 4, in Ephesians 4, we see our Lord resurrected and ascended. And He gave some gifts to men. At the same time, he showed us he gave four kinds of people. He gave them to his church. These four peoples are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Of course, pastor, in some renderings, they should really be translated shepherds. So you see, God gave these four kinds of people, especially to his church. These four people all are connected to the ministry of the word. We can say they are ministers of the word. They all minister God's word to the church. And these four ministries, God gave them to the church. To do what? The Bible tells us, for the perfecting of the saints. Their work is to perfect the saints, using God's word to perfect the saints. This perfecting, in the original language, has two meanings. One is that they would mature in life. That they would mature the saints. Because of the supply of God's word, that they would mature in life. The other meaning is to equip the saints. To equip the saints. To help them, to equip them, so that they can use the gifts that God has given them. Because they are members of the body of Christ. Every member, God has given them a certain gift through His grace. And this gift is something that the apostles are trying to equip. They are there to help them so that they can function and develop so that their gift can be manifested and they will have opportunity to develop that function. These are the goal of the ministries of these four type of workers, four types of gifts. That they're to perfect the saints. As they perfect the saints in this way, we see in Ephesians 4. For the perfecting of the saints, and number 13 until for the equipment of the saints for the work of the ministry to the building up of the body of Christ. For the work of ministry shows us that this work of the ministry is for the saints to do the ministry. It doesn't mean that the four kinds of people in verse 11 to do the work of ministry. It's clear in Chinese. In the English it says with a view for the work of ministry. It is for the perfecting of the saints is for the work of ministry. And that ministry does not refer to the previous four people's ministries. This ministry points to the ministry of the body, body ministry. It is a body ministry. Today in the body of Christ, there are many members. There are many saints. All these saints, they have been perfected. They are matured. they're equipped. Then these members of the body would work and function in their capacity. So this ministry mentioned in verse 12, it is a body ministry. It is not the ministry of the workers. It is a body ministry. They fulfill their ministry unto the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, the building up of the body of Christ, building up the church, is not directly involved by the workers. The workers, what they do is an indirect work of building of the body. The direct work of building the body of Christ is done in the body through the members. The Greek scholars, such as Lightfoot, these kind of people, he was the bishop in the Episcopalian Church, as well as other scholars. They all acknowledge that the work of ministry here in verse 12, this ministry does not refer to the previous four people, rather refers to the body. So I believe this is rather clear. Today God's servants, they're there working, and their work is for the perfecting of the saints. When the saints are perfected, the saints spontaneously rise up unto the work of the ministry, unto the building of the body of Christ. So our brother Ni had taught us in this way. He said, when you go out to work, as you work, it's just like as you build a building, you have to set up scaffolds. Once the house is built, the scaffolds are torn away. They're torn down. In other words, today as you go out to work, the success or failure of your work hinges upon whether you work to the extent that you will be unemployed. When you are unemployed, then your work is successful. If as you work, brothers and sisters have always to rely upon you, you cannot be unemployed, then you are in utter failure. Recently I've seen that. Even Hudson Taylor said a similar word. He said, our work is merely to build a scaffold. Well, praise the Lord. You see, Hudson Taylor, in his days, he had seen that also. His China Inland Mission was merely a scaffold. But to the regret, later on, within the China Inland Mission, the ministers, the missionaries didn't see that. So later on, they encountered difficulties because the missionary had taken full control of their work. They were unwilling to relinquish and turn over to the Chinese local people. They took full control of it. They didn't see that they were merely a scaffold. Once a church is built, it should be turned over to the local people. So in the Sino-Japanese War, I was in Chongqing City. The CIM director was Bishop Halter. He was a bishop of the Episcopalian. but he was the field director of CIM. And this brother was rather clear. He wanted to turn over all of the missions of CIM to the Chinese. Because he wanted to do so, and the younger co-workers drove him out. And when the political situation took a turn in China, and you saw that all their churches was without a leader, because they were in the controlling hands of the missionaries. So we saw that what God has shown us in His Word is so clear, so precious. This is only one example. So we'll see here, in the beginning, the apostles' work was like this. They would go to a place to work. Yes, in the infancy, it was as though they would do everything. But their work was to build up the saints. So the saints will be raised up. And the saints have been raised up. The Holy Spirit has manifested. And they will relinquish the ruling and the governing of the local assembly to the local brothers. And they will no longer bear the responsibility of administrating. Of course, they still maintain the spiritual responsibility, just like the parents. Once the children are grown, they should allow the children to be independent. They shouldn't always control the children. Of course, the parents' heart towards the children are so very intimate. This is without a question. So we see that. Paul was like that toward the church in Corinth. He was there for a year and 6 months. But once he left Corinth, church in Corinth had been independent. They bore their own responsibilities. But they had problems within themselves. So Paul, as a parent, of course his heart was heavy. Therefore, he wrote them a letter. But here we see that even when Paul was writing them the epistle, he was there exercising spiritual authority, but he did not have administrative authority. He could not give an order to excommunicate the sinner. He could only show them that people like these, they should excommunicate them. You should go according to your conscience to deal with this problem. But he could not directly deal with the problem. He could only use his spiritual authority to touch their conscience so that the local brothers would see how they neglected in dealing with this matter so that they would rise up to deal with the problem. And therefore, here we see that the relationship between the church and the work. Before the church is established, it was under the work. But once the church is established, you will see that the scaffold is torn down. You could stand on the sideline and help them, using your spiritual supply of the word. But you should never directly interfere. If you do, the church will never be independent. God's word shows us clearly that all the local assemblies are independent. Not only is there no control of other churches or parent churches or branch churches, we saw that every local assembly is independent. There's no work or ministry to control any church. This is what we have seen. But on the other hand, it is not because the church is established, then the church becomes independent, then they cut off the workers. We don't need you anymore. We don't accept you anymore. Yes, they did have the authority not to receive. But if they did it, it would reveal they should maintain a humility, feeling that we still need the help of the ministry. We will never go to an extent that we don't need the work anymore. We're fully independent. We don't need the work. We're completely separate from work. So we see the church is different from the work, but not separate. They need to support each other. So we see that the church in Corinth, as far as the church is concerned, the church in Corinth was abnormal. The relationship for the worker toward the work is abnormal. Paul's relationship toward Corinth is very normal. He knew how he cared for the church in Corinth. Even he was weeping to exhort them. He knew that he could directly meddle. Even some wanted to reject him, to disavow his apostleship. But he would not justify himself. But he would show them the spiritual office, that they could not fully reject the work. So we saw Paul's relationship towards Corinth was clear, was very right. But Corinth, church in Corinth's relationship was abnormal toward Paul. Not only there were some within them did not acknowledge Paul's apostleship, wanting to reject his supply. We also saw that the church in Corinth did not even support Paul in terms of financial support. Paul was not willing to receive their gift. It was right for the worker to receive his pay. Materially speaking, men should support the church, receive the help of the ministry. They should rise up to maintain and support the needs of the livelihood of the workers. This is needful. Of course, workers were sent by God. They should never look to the church to support them. If today a worker looks to the church to support him, this becomes an employee of the church. He is controlled by the church. He is not sent by God. The one whom God sent, God will be responsible. You should always look directly to the Lord. You should never look to brothers and sisters expecting any ulterior motive. This is as far as a worker is concerned. Because we are not employees of men. Neither did the scripture show us that the church would send out workers. No. Even in Antioch, we see that it was the Holy Spirit sending Paul and Barnabas, not the church sending them out. At the same time, It wasn't the church that laid hand on them. It was those brothers who served with them together laying hand upon them. In other words, formerly we worked together, now the Lord has sent you out to work. The Lord didn't send us, but we wanted to go out with you in terms of work. So the church never sent the workers out, because the workers are sent by God alone. If the church could send out, then the church can control them. But because it was sent out by God, so the church could not control it. It is the Holy Spirit. Side of the church, what relationship do we have with the work? Since we have received spiritual help, we should support them in the material thing. This is our responsibility. The workers should not look to the church, but the church should know. But you saw Paul's relationship with the Philippi. It was different. That relationship was very normal. We see that Paul was sent out by God from Asia Minor, crossing an ocean to Europe. The church in Philippi was the first church in Europe. Paul and Silas and Timothy, Paul, Silas, were mistreated. But praise the Lord, the church was born. From day one, if you read the letter to the Philippians, you saw Paul from first day on saying, "You and I together for the advancement of the gospel even until now." Even when Paul was in prison, the saints there were in one heart advancing the gospel. This is very precious. They were there supporting the work. The work is different from the church, but not separate from the church. They were there supporting the work. Not only in terms of spiritual to support the work, they were also there economically supporting the work. So when Paul went to Thessalonica, they still once and again sent people to support Paul. When Paul was in prison in Rome, they still sent with supply to Rome to support him. Not only in terms of financially, Epaphras was sent not only with the supply, but he was sent also to serve Paul. But he was sick. Not only he couldn't serve Paul, it turned out that so when he was healed, Epaphroditus, Paul sent Epaphroditus back. So he said, "You brothers feel Epaphroditus did not fulfill his function." So you saw the relationship was very normal. The church and the work, if it's normal, it should have this kind of condition. When it's abnormal, it's just like Corinth. Now let's fellowship further. The workers do not belong to the church. They belong to the Lord. The church cannot regard the workers as their property. Since the workers do not belong to the church, but the worker cannot be separate from the church either. Today we see, especially in America, a preacher, as he comes out of seminary, he begins to look for a job. Of course, when he comes out of seminary, he will not go to a big church. So usually you see that he would go to the countryside to be a country church. And he would get a salary because of the small church. So the supply is not that good. But he's there as a pastor. If he works in a faithful way, at the same time there's the blessing of God, his preaching is successful, and then his fame went abroad. So you see, after a few years, the big churches in the big cities would hire him. So his supply becomes better. And if this person becomes a pastor in a big church, he's there ruling the church. So you see, that the pastoral system, what is it? It is that we here have a group of Christians. We need a person to bear our responsibility. Everything is done by this person. And the rest of us can just sit there and listen. We just put up a little money to feed you, and you serve us. All the affairs of the church are done by the pastors. We're too busy. We have so much things in the world. We cannot possibly have time. We cannot read the Bible well and pursue the Lord. We don't know the Word of God. Since you graduated from seminary, you're an expert. You've been trained. You bear responsibility. Everything is yours. You do everything for us. Not only you do the preaching, you do the visitation, and even there are so many mundane chores. We're too busy to do. You have time. You don't have any other jobs. So everything is upon your shoulders. And that's the way it is. So you see, the work becomes united with the church, becomes one. This is totally unscriptural. So later on, so when this person goes to the big church and preach, and then you get more and more famous, everyone wants you. And the result is, and you relinquish your responsibility to the assistant pastor, even to the extent you don't see this pastor anymore, because he is visiting everywhere. He's too busy. His work is demanding. And the end result is, he's no longer a pastor. He's no longer a local pastor. He devotes his full time to become a conference speaker. He goes everywhere preaching. He's a roaming pastor because of his greatness of his fame and his gift. He's no longer a pastor shepherding the church, but he becomes a missionary. This is the condition in America. In the eyes of men, he's successful. But people like them? What relationship do they have with the church? He is separated from the church. The church is completely cut off from the church. He himself has no church life to speak of. He himself is no longer a member of the body of Christ. Yes, these four ministries were in the body. But on the other hand, he should still remain a member in the body. In this way, you see that he has lost the position of being member in the body and the living also in the body. He's cut off. This is a great danger, great danger. Like Paul, when he went out to work, you will see, after a period of time, he will return to Antioch. He has roots. He's not without roots. So we must see, the work cannot be completely cut off from the church. Today, a worker, even though he is a servant of God, he's still a brother, a sister. He's a brother or sister in the church. So regardless where you are, you still should have roots. What I mean is, Peter's roots are in Jerusalem. Paul's roots are in Antioch. At any rate, we should have roots. What good is the roots? On the one hand, there are a group of brothers and sisters who are there to support. You are not a lone ranger. They will pray for you. And they will support you. On the other hand, you can never just roam around and everywhere. You have to settle in one place. In that place, you have to be a brother or a sister. In the work, you are a worker. But in the church, you are a brother. You are a sister. Today's problem, many workers, they no longer know how to be a brother or a sister anymore. Even in the church, he doesn't know how to be a brother or how to be a sister. In the church, he still wants to be a worker. This is a problem. So those of us who serve must remember, in your local assembly, you serve, yes. In the work, you have a direct relationship with the Lord. The church cannot interfere. You are not controlled by the church. Of course, you should fellowship with the church. Because you are a brother. You are a sister. But when you are in the church, do not consider yourself as a worker, as though you are unique. You are still just a common brother, a common sister. You must obey the responsible brothers in the local assembly. In this way, you can still learn. When you are at home, you must have a home in a local assembly. You cannot be without a home. In your home assembly, you are a brother, you are a sister. At the same time, if the church needs your help, you can render some help in the ministry of the word. Not because you come, so you take over the church. Everything becomes yours. Preaching is yours, ruling is yours, administration, everything is yours, brothers and sisters. can never do such a thing. Work in the church must be different, but cannot be separate. This is very needful. We need to know. I say, this is something we workers must understand. Those of us who serve in the church, those who are elders, what do we pay attention to? We see that if a church is already built, the Holy Spirit would raise up and manifest some brothers to fulfill the functions of being elders. The elders in the church is to rule over, to administrate God's house. In the Bible, there is no universal elders. Even in Revelation, there are 24 elders. Those are universal elders. But in the local assembly, there's no universal elders. It's only local elders. It's not that when you are an elder in a certain locality, when you go to another place, you automatically become the elder. No, not necessary. You are a local. Because you are a little bit mature, a little older in the local assembly, you're a little more advanced. Therefore, you can lead them and help them to go forward. Therefore, you become the local assembly's elder. So you see, the elders are always local. You cannot borrow an elder from another locality. The elder is produced locally. You can never borrow an elder from another assembly. There's no such a thing. So the elders are local in nature. Because he's in the local assembly, he knows the condition of the local assembly. And he knows how to serve, brothers and sisters. In reality, the elders are most diligent. They're not there to sit on top to give orders. They're really the servants of all brothers and sisters, to serve brothers and sisters. These are the elders. So today in the church, if the elder is not progressing spiritually, other brothers and sisters are pursuing the spiritual thing. He doesn't pursue. He formerly was more advanced. Now the other brothers and sisters are advanced, more advanced than he. But because he's an elder, he still takes his position to rule over. This way the church cannot go forward. It becomes a problem. The Bible didn't show us how to terminate the eldership. If the elders sin, then we can deal with it. But if he doesn't sin, what do you do? The Bible didn't tell us how long is the term of the eldership, 3 years, 5 years, or forever. The Bible didn't show us. So today we encounter these problems. There are some problems. Was elders set up by the apostles? And therefore the apostles would have the authority to terminate the eldership because he appointed them. If this is the case, then the church will never become independent. The church will always fall into the hand of the worker. Because if the elders that you have appointed doesn't listen to you, then you terminate it. So all the elders that are left are those who listen to you and are controlled by you. So the work and the church becomes one again. There's no different again. It becomes a mixture. It's not right. It cannot be independent. So under this circumstance, what do we do? a fellowship with you, my personal feeling, because I feel this is a real problem among us. Even though the Bible shows us some apostles have appointed elders, but the Bible didn't show us that all the elders were appointed by the apostles. In other words, the apostles appointed elders, it was merely one way. It was not the unique only way. Secondly, at one place, there's a group of brothers and sisters who are learning. If there's no apostle among them, then does it mean in this church there are no brothers who take the lead? We see that the Holy Spirit will manifest. There will be some, wherever it is, as long as there's a group of brothers and sisters meeting. Spontaneously, after some time, the Holy Spirit will manifest. There are some brothers that are able to stand in leadership. They are more diligent. If brothers and sisters have a problem, they will go to these brothers and sisters. This shows us that the Holy Spirit had manifested it. And for the apostles to appoint elders, they merely confirm what the Holy Spirit had already appointed. So in Acts 20, Paul said to the elders in Ephesus, "It is the Holy Spirit who appointed you as overseers." It's the Holy Spirit, not the apostles. The apostles, because they have a spiritual discernment, they saw how the Holy Spirit already appointed. They only come merely to confirm. So we see that this confirmation is for what? My personal feeling is this confirmation is for the brothers who are not spiritual. Spiritual brothers and sisters, inwardly, they are already clear. They know who the ones are that the Holy Spirit had appointed. But those fleshly brothers and sisters who do not see, because they do not see. So once the apostles comes along to confirm, then they would see, okay, these are the others. Then I would obey. So you see that this is for the sake of the unspiritual brothers and sisters, to give them a little help. In reality, it's not needful. It's not necessary. If you really are reverent, if you fear God, you know inwardly. You do not need mentioning. So in the scripture, my personal feeling, the appointment of the elders is done by the Holy Spirit. The apostles merely come along to confirm. So sometimes there's no need to confirm. In some places there's no confirmation. Some places there are confirmation. But every assembly would have elders. What about today? The condition is different. We today, as far as the church is concerned, the church have degraded, have been in ruin. We see God's children are scattered all over the place. Formerly, the elders were local. His service is to serve the local saints. But today, we see that in one locality, God's children are scattered everywhere. Not only are there different denominations, there are also the so-called independent groups. Then God's children are scattered in everywhere. Even in one locality, there are so many divisions. So today, in the way of God's recovery, can we recover the so-called outward things? This is a great dilemma. On this way of recovery, what God is recovering, is it the inward spiritual reality, or is he recovering to the extent of the original outward formalities? This is something we need to know before the Lord and to seek after before the Lord. According to the viewpoints of men, to recover back to the original outward condition is impossible. It's impossible. In the beginning in Jerusalem, there was only one church. All of God's children were one. The elders in the church in Jerusalem was one eldership. These elders were one unit to administrate the church in Jerusalem. But today, in order to recover to that kind of condition, it's impossible. God's children are in dispersion into all different groups. And every group has its own leaders. How can you combine all the groups to set up one class of leaders or elders to administrate all the brothers and sisters? This is absolutely impossible. Impossible. So my personal, in my reading of the scripture, I feel in the way of recovery, what God is recovering is a spiritual reality, not the outward formality. In other words, we need to recover the testimony of oneness. But we have no way to combine all of the groups together, to relinquish all the groups and bring them together under one roof, and then to set up a so-called the local church in so-and-so place. It is impossible. So today the so-called ecumenical movement, saying that we in Christ should be one, therefore we need to combine all the groups together, so we still maintain all the groups. We merely unite the groups together. This is not the oneness that the Lord is looking for. As John 17, the oneness is the oneness of the Son and the Father. The oneness between the Father and the Son is in spirit. It is spiritual. Because there is a spiritual oneness, then can we have outward oneness. It is not to have outward federated oneness. So when you work outwardly, even if you do a work, it is still not the reality. It is the inwardly we need to keep the strive for the oneness in the spirit. Same thing with the elders. We have no way to recover the so-called the position of the elders, the titles of the elders. There's no way to recover that. Because the elders of the Bible is the elders in the church. It's not a certain elders of a certain meeting or certain group. It's the elders of the whole church. And that's impossible to recover. But praise God. The functions of the elders, we see, they are being recovered in every locality, in every meeting. There's a group of people who are there bearing responsibility toward God, bearing responsibility toward the saints. They are there. It is very spontaneously, unavoidable. And there's no need for you to give him a title of elders or to go through a formality. The Holy Spirit already manifested. If this is the case, then you see that. There's no need to set up. There's no need to terminate. According to spiritual condition. If other brothers have gone further than you, naturally the other brothers bear the responsibility of the church. If you lag behind, naturally, you are not fulfilling your function. Then you do not have the function. If this is the case, then you see that the spiritual reality can be recovered. But we do not need to insist upon the outward formality. My personal feeling is that the recovery of the outward formality is not possible. Not possible. Even when we read the scripture, we see this. When the church has come to the end times, we go further and further away from God. Even there is the falling away, the apostasy. But thank the Lord, there is a group of saints who are pure in heart, pursuing the Lord, praying together, pursuing righteousness, sanctification, and faith. We see a group of people there maintaining the oneness in the Holy Spirit. A group of people who are there before the Lord, bearing spiritual responsibilities. And just like in the seven letters, the messengers in the seven letters, bearing spiritual responsibilities. They may not be set up by men at all, but they are the result of the Holy Spirit's work. And we thank the Lord. In the way of recovery, all of the spiritual reality are there. But the outward things, not necessarily. They may not be recovered. I don't know what brothers and sisters feel. I merely give you a reference point. It shows us that the relationship between the church and the work. In terms of the work, we should know in what position we stand upon to relate to the church. In terms of the church should know where she stands and what relationship she has with the work. Then these two entities, we will see that they are different but not severed. It is not one entity, but they need cooperation of all. If this is the case, then we will see God's purpose will be accomplished. So this morning, I will fellowship this a little bit. Just to review, we still have a little time to have some prayer.